The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back.
Oh, they're back.
After Merge Boot number 2.
Live?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my God.
How are you?
I'm good. This was a fun, interesting episode.
Yeah, no,
and
I like this.
Yeah. I it's funny. It was like last week was so good that nothing could live up to it. But mm-hmm. I still thought this was a really fun episode. It's a great cast. You have so many like random fun character moments like, you know, Angela's tongue dance, like whatever she was doing.
Out party, yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the big story of the night.
She's very sort, popular maybe. Now. She's a highly popular character in person, Angela. And so we will talk about everything from this vote tonight. And I think that this is a really interesting vote to talk about. Really looking forward to breaking this all down as Libby, the Libster, goes home tonight. Yes.
I called it last week, right? I was like, I think it might be Libby next week.
Okay. I don't recall that, but I will take your word for it. Kudos to you.
Why can't you just give me a little credit? You know, why do you have to like say a nasty thing first?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, good. Look, that was a good leap. She got the second most votes last week. You said, I bet that person goes next.
Yeah. That was my thinking.
That's a good tell. Yeah. So, all right. We have a lot of stuff to get to here tonight. Okay. I want to tell you guys who are watching us live. I believe that the chat room is not working. Our chat room provider, Chatwing, usually no problems. Apparently, they are down tonight. So we'll be relying on Twitter to get your questions and comments. Hashtag RHAP. Tweet along with the show to send us what you're thinking. Please. Nice thoughts only. That's what we like. That's what we prefer. And then, of course, Stephen, a lot of stuff to get to in the next couple of days. Although I have some breaking news regarding this week's exit interview on the podcast.
What's that?
Breaking news.
Oh.
Happening now.
Sad news to report that we will not be getting Libby for an exit interview this week.
Fireman training?
No. She is apparently out of the country and will not be doing a phone interview, believe, with any of the Survivor press. She will be answering questions over email, and we will bring you those questions and the answers to them, both in podcast form, and then we'll write up the blog as well. So it's a rarity, Stephen, when somebody does not do the Survivor exit press.
Is she the Dan Lembo of Survivor 36?
No, he did it. He just wanted to leave. Really, other than JP, I think everybody else has done the circuit, but she will be by email.
I thought Russell like wouldn't do it with you.
But he did with other people. He did. He was just mad at me that did not. So Libby is, you know, look, one of the busiest Survivors that there ever has been. So we totally understand. And so exit interview questions coming from the Libster. Second of all, Stephen, we've got Dr. Mike on the podcast tomorrow morning. Do you want to call in and have this be a we'll double team him?
No, I do not.
You don't want to
Yeah. He's, you know, it's like you're walking through a minefield with Dr. Mike. You never know what's going to explode
this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Mike, I think we'll be all charged up tomorrow morning and talk to him bright and early on Thursday. So if you got questions for Dr. Mike, email them in tonight, survivor@robswebsite.com. And then over the weekend, the first lady of podcasting, Nicole Cesarnino herself, the one-time co-host of this podcast, she will be joining me this weekend to answer all of your feedback questions about this week's episode. And of course, the Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. But Stephen, first, let's dive in to this tribal council, because this was such an interesting vote, because it's really not often in Survivor where the person who goes home really could have zigged, but zagged and then went home.
Well, how do you mean that she zagged?
Well, what I mean is that Michael, who she was accused of being a power couple with in this episode, comes to the former Malolo people and says, hey, I've got a plan tonight that I, you know, I have on good authority that people are going to be splitting votes and they're going to put votes on me and votes on Libby. I'm not sure if Michael knew exactly where the vote split was going, but there were conversations with Donathan and Laurel. And I totally get why Donathan and Laurel didn't pull the trigger on this move. But if the threesome of Michael, who played his idol, and his alleged power couple partner in Libby and Jenna would be a bonus too. Both of them ended up voting for Michael tonight. That if they would have voted for Wendell, Wendell goes home tonight, Steven.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's a really interesting. That's a really, really interesting point. I mean, but if you're Libby in that position and you know that the entire tribe is voting for Michael and your big target is because you stood by Michael and you don't know that Michael is an idol and he certainly hasn't told you, even though you're allegedly in a power couple with him. I kind of think she made the right move in that case. Like, yes, it worked out badly, but we're not results oriented on this podcast. And I think it's probably, given the information she had, I think she did the right thing.
I mean, I'll agree to disagree because I just think that.
Tell me.
Well, why not? Talk to Michael here. I mean, this is her supposed power couple partner. You would think that they would be close enough that I mean, what was the upside with going with Dominic? Like, she was going to just hide and be safe for a couple of votes?
Yeah, I think if you're in Libby's position, that's what you do. You know, especially those first few merge votes are like pretty, you know, as we talked about last week a little bit, there's so many people there on the island. You know, you've got 13 one episode, 12 the next. They're somewhat big consensus votes. And I think the move for Libby is to hide and try to just stay out of the spotlight and wait until you have a real opportunity. I mean, who, you know, from Survivor Cambodia, like, who's the most revered player, Kelly Wentworth, who, you know, that's what she did. She did nothing until the end when she did a lot. And that was a really successful strategy for her. And I really think that would have been Libby's best play here. You know, I'm do you think, not knowing that Michael had an idol, she still should have voted with Michael?
I just don't understand why they weren't on the same page here. If then it just seems like that it's another one of these things where, you know, just like the Morgan vote where she's, you know, tight with somebody and then trying to snake them and be underhanded. And I think that she got bit here tonight based on that.
Well, it is interesting. Had she just said to Michael, look, it's you, I think. And then he could have been like, listen, why don't you, me and Jenna just put our votes on some third person, you know, and like, you know, just trust me, put your votes on Wendell. And maybe Michael made that play. Maybe you're right. Like, maybe, you know, that's the question. Like, was the case? And obviously Michael was making that case. But it's hard without some assurance that your vote is going to be meaningful to do that. And especially if you know that Laurel and Donathan, which presumably she knew, right? This is a down the line vote. Everyone voted for either Michael. I'm sorry, either Michael or Libby, except Michael himself, who voted for Wendell. It's just, I feel like not knowing about the idol, it would be impossible to make that play.
Yeah. But Stephen, how do you go along? And she found out during the course of the episode that the votes are going to be split and they're going to be split
right
on Michael and split onto you. I mean, how is she going along with the side that put votes on her last week and then also is splitting the vote against her this week? I mean, go back to Survivor One World where they tell the great Christina Cha is who we have to go back to. And they tell her that they're splitting the votes tonight and they're putting votes on Troyzan and then votes on her just in case Troyzan plays an idol. They tell her the plan and she's on board just like Libby was.
Well, I mean, the fact that they're splitting votes incentivizes her to vote for Michael, right? Because she doesn't want the vote split to go her way. You know, again, like not knowing that Michael has an idol, like if she thinks that it's, you know, five on her, five on Michael, she's got to vote for Michael.
Yeah, I just did not see her really pushing for this plan for the five Malolos to stick together, because that was the way out. I mean, if she gets right. Laurel and Donathan to vote with them, then they have five votes there for the Malolos to stick together. And it just did not seem like that was a strong option for her.
It was
an option that she was pushing for.
Right. We sure didn't see her making that case. We sure did not. It did look like from what we saw that she wasn't really trying to make that case. I mean, Michael made the case. I think it comes down to Laurel and Donathan's decision. And I'm curious, you're saying that's the right decision for Laurel and Donathan. I'm not sure it is. And I don't mean that in the sense of that I don't think it is. I just am not sure. Why do you think that Laurel and Donathan made the right move?
Well, I think that they made the right move because I think it's just too early with 12 people in the game. That I really liked Laurel in this episode, that I thought that her conversation with Wendell was really well done on her part early in the episode, especially at the point where Wendell reveals to her that Dominic has an idol, information that she already knew when Dominic had shown her the idol earlier in the season. And she acted as if she had not known that information before, though she did a really good job there.
Yes, she did a great job there.
And in confessional, she articulated to us about how she was really feeling unsure about the whole situation with Wendell. But Wendell came away from that conversation feeling like that Laurel was 1,000% with him. And so I thought that she did a really good job going through that. And I just think that it's too early for them to make that kind of big move to take out, especially that she knows that both of them have idols. And, potentially if one thing goes wrong, then that is a very tricky situation to blindside somebody with an idol. If they catch wind of it, they can play the idol and the whole plan goes up in smoke and potentially your game in the process as well. So I think it's too early at 12. I think it's hard to make a big swing on the even numbers. You can get out some of these other people, some of these other pawns along the way. And if they end up with just like with those two guys and then potentially one extra Malolo down the stretch, then they could potentially have the numbers to take out a Wendell or a Dominic later on in the game.
A few things. First of all, I love Laurel as a player. I think she's really fun. I think you're right that she played that part about, pretending she didn't know about Dominic's idol perfectly. I didn't love her with this scene with Wendell's idol, because Wendell really was trying to show her trust and she wasn't buying it. And in fact, it was encouraging her distrust. We talk a lot about how showing an idol is a sign of trust. And I feel like that's almost like an established way of showing trust now. It's like putting the ring on the finger, like I want to be with you forever. And that's why I'm giving you or I'm showing you this incredible expression of commitment. And Laurel reads that as like, not look at this incredible trust you showed me, but why didn't I know about this earlier? Right. And I thought that was a level of paranoia that was unnecessary. Now, vis-a-vis like the question of, is it too soon to make a move on Wendell? Yes, it's too soon to make a move on Wendell, and Laurel and Donathan having this question of like, do we betray our ally Wendell or do we betray our ally Michael? Why not the third option of Kellen, or Chelsea or Dez, someone who is a strong Navidi member and who is not one of your allies? Why not push for that move? You keep the Malolo group there on the one side. You also don't betray your secret alliance of Dominic and Wendell. I mean, that's the thing that blew my mind. I mean, you're saying, they need to get rid of some of these pawns. These pawns are their pawns. This is the Malolo pawns. Watching the Malolos get picked off could be disastrous for them.
Yeah, but I don't think that Wendell or Dominic are going to go along with let's pick off one of the Navidi. So it really came down to, which one of the Malolo tribe members ended up having the least connections to the people that were in power. And that's why we saw this decision between Michael and Libby, where you can see where Angela actually did some interesting work to sort of like poison the well against Michael, making him the target this week. And then Libby, I guess, by proxy, ended up being the person with the, who didn't have, super tight connections to too many people outside of Dominic from the time that they spent together after the swap. But just to go,
hold on. I don't want to lose that point, because, yeah. When they didn't need Wendell or Dominic to go along with if they were going to target Kellen or Chelsea. You know, that was the whole point of that little Malolo insurgency, right? Is that if the Navidis were splitting the votes,
trust is gone. Well, you can't blindside if you're Laurel or Donathan. You can't blindside Dominic or Wendell at that vote and then take out somebody who was one of their Naviti allies.
They're talking about voting out Michael. I mean, you know, it's, I mean, I hear you that it would be a big move, but if I don't think it's necessarily just this dichotomy between like, do we vote out Wendell or do we vote out Michael? You know, there's a third way that might be the better way.
Yeah. I just want to go back to the Wendell and Laurel conversation again, because I definitely can see why there was a disconnect where Wendell felt like, okay, I'm going to reveal these secrets to you and then we are going to feel closer. I mean, that's something that you've talked about for, you know, since the beginning of doing this podcast, that you like that as a move. But I think that from where Laurel was coming from, it's almost like if I go to my wife and tell her, hey, you know, look, I feel, you know, especially close to you right now. I just want to let you know that I have a second property that you don't know about, but I want to tell you about. And this is a good thing. It's like, oh, it's like you think, okay, she'll be happy. I'm revealing the secret. But she's like, wait, hold on. But why didn't you tell me about this when you got this? So I definitely can understand where the mistrust comes from. And if Wendell ended up coming away from that telling us, hey, boy, I did not get a great feeling from Laurel as I told, but everything that we heard from Wendell after the fact supported that he felt really good about that conversation that he had with Laurel. So you can't dock her anything because Wendell came away from it feeling really good about that conversation.
Although even at the reward, he did again say, like, I'm glad I got to go on this reward with Laurel because I felt like she hasn't been feeling good. I mean, the fact that he picked up on that at all, you've really got to give him credit for, you know, she wasn't feeling good. He picked up on it. I think there's a slight difference between keeping something from your wife and then keeping something from an ally from a different tribe on Survivor. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people are supposed to keep secrets on Survivor. So when they tell you secrets, it's a big deal. People aren't supposed to keep secrets in a marriage. So when they tell you secrets, it's like, what the heck is this secret about?
Don't get ticky-tack with this.
I appreciate that. No, I get why she's like, Dominic knows about this. Why didn't I? Like that threatens my place in this alliance. You know, you've already told one guy. Why am I the second person to know? I totally understand that. Yeah. But I mean, her read was wrong, right? He was doing it and he was sincere. I mean, his read was wrong too. Both of their reads were wrong.
Mm-hmm. It'll be very interesting to watch Laurel in this post-merge landscape and see when she feels like there is a right time, if any, to make a move and try to break up those two. And she really has her work cut out for her because both of them have an idol. Both of them have different allies. And so that would be a very tricky move. And to speak to your point, that gets harder for her the less people there are, because there are going to be less outs in terms of, okay, I need four people tonight to blind. And then, you know, as those numbers dwindle, there'll be less people that aren't going to go back and snitch on her.
Well, and good on her for recognizing her place in the tribe, right? We were saying this last week, is that Laurel's got to get out from under that shadow of Dominic and Wendell. And so kudos to her for like realizing, yes, I have to, you know, it's a lot of people who are in that position who, you know, we talk about this all the time. Everyone is telling the story, you know, everyone is telling the hero of their own story. So it becomes very difficult to realize, oh, wait, I'm like the second fiddle. I'm like the sidekick in his story, you know, and I think, and you know, for her to recognize that and realize that she needs to do something to change it is a really important realization. I worry that just, you know, if we're hearing about this now, like, you're right. Like, when does this happen? Like, when is it? Because we've seen a lot of people make that move too soon at 12, at 11, you know, you got to wait till like, what, maybe, you know, it all depends on whether it works or not. Tony, we criticized Tony roundly for taking out LJ too soon, and it worked out for him.
Yeah. I want to go back just to Libby one more time and talk about how her being the target of a couple of votes last week, do you feel like that should have incentivized her more to be more aggressive? Or do you think that speaks to that she should have just gone with the flow and done everything she could to get back under the radar?
It's so hard. I mean, it's, you know, what's her move? You know, without knowing about the idol, with knowing that everyone is voting against her ally, it's so situational, right? You can, I think with that kind of thing, you can't say one way or the other. And we certainly see, you know, sometimes people's name pops up for a couple of weeks. And it's true what Angela says, right? Which is that once your name is on the ballot, you know, once your name is out there as a potential target, it's always going to be out there. You're always going to be one of the people who's in the discussion. And it's almost like beyond strategy. It's just convenience. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I just want to go back to that vote and just talk it through a little bit more, because I think that we presumed last week that the two votes that were for Libby were that Angela and Desiree were told, okay, let's put two votes on Libby just in case Chris plays his idol. And that doesn't seem like that was the case. It seems like that based on it, we didn't really hear from Desiree about this, but we heard from Angela about it, about how, well, you know, I didn't really, you know, that was epic getting to see all that. And it seemed like that she was blindsided. Maybe they did not think that they could trust her to not go back and tell Chris what was going to happen. So she was actually a lot of fun this week, now that she sort of got like a fire lit underneath her. But yeah, for Libby, I just feel like that maybe there's more that we just didn't get to see of, like, how hard did she push Jenna? It seemed like Donathan was on board. I understand why she wasn't going to get Laurel, but it just seems like that if she would have had better communication with Michael, maybe, and maybe this is a fault of Michael too, who I think has been really, really strong this season, but maybe he ends up saying, okay, trust me on this one. Because even if she just votes with Michael here and he does have the idol, that's at least you're getting it to now two votes of against Wendell.
Yeah, I think it's a tie. I mean, granted, you know, Wendell still doesn't go home, but yeah, I mean, I hear you. I hear you. It's definitely, I mean, clearly she did something wrong because she left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. All right. Let's talk about the Michael and Angela of it all. How do you think that all ended up going? I guess first, let me talk it through from Michael's pitch to Angela. He's sitting there, he's talking to her, and he's basically telling her that, look, now is the time to make a move. You didn't know about the vote last time. And then she goes back and basically rats him out to all the powers that be at Naviti.
Yeah. And in fact, just briefly, that seemed to suggest that Desiree knew and Angela didn't. Michael said, you know, you were the only person who didn't know about the vote last time. But yeah, it was such an interesting decision. You know, on the one hand, you have Michael including her in a possible insurgence against these people who have blindsided her best ally, and then, you know, used and then completely left her out of the strategic conversation. Rather than stick with him, she decides to go and tell all that information to the same people who just kind of betrayed her.
Yeah. Michael ends up, you know, telling her, you know, hey, you know, that you didn't know about this. And she ends up really just going and telling everybody, like, oh, can you believe this, Michael? She really tries to paint the target on his back and talking about how he is gunning for Wendell. And it does seem to work. It really never ends up, like, she really misconstrues what he was saying and gets the target on his back. And then kudos to her, wins heads up against him in the immunity challenge, which I thought was all very interesting. Steven, I know you love the gross food competition. You got to participate in it in Survivor Second Chances. How did this gross food challenge hold up for you?
I mean, this is great. There have been gross food competitions. I felt like that blender situation in Survivor Samoa had to be one of the nastiest of all time. I mean, to me, the balut is like with a little feathers and the claw sticking out, like that is the thing I was terrified of eating. It's always a great challenge. It's fun to see. I'm glad they don't do it every season because they would get old, but it's so much fun to watch. You just see different sides of people, you know, Wendell, who totally aced that reward challenge and just like single-handedly won that for his team, just stepped away, couldn't even compete.
Yeah, it was like nope. not even getting into it. And that you guys did it as a tribe challenge in Second Chances, which I actually prefer, because then Wendell's letting the team down when he doesn't want to eat. Like, he's like, I know I'm good tonight, I have an idol, I'll play it if I need it, I don't have to eat something that I don't want to do. It's like in the team version, you really put people in situations where they feel like they have to do it to not let down the group.
Yeah. I like the solo one. It's just like, there's like more, you know, like you're seeing more people struggle. I mean, I guess in the team ones, you also are. To be honest, I just wanted to have a solo one. I thought I would win it, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, both my seasons, I was craving that, and I was kind of bummed that it was a team one.
Yeah. And so it came down to, we got down to three, and we got down to the sea slug. And it was Michael, and it was Seabass, and it was Angela. And see, we saw a side of Angela that we did not know was there.
Wow. I mean, even like the tongue wagging, like the dancing, like she was, yeah, a different person.
Jeff seemed quite impressed with her work tonight.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Very good. Yes. Yeah.
And then Angela ends up beating Michael head to head. I will say, if I may nitpick the challenge, when we got to the last thing, when we got to the Mother of Pearl, can you explain what that is, Stephen? I know that you are much more of a connoisseur of the fine foods than myself.
The sea slug seemed like the nastiest thing. I couldn't tell what the Mother of Pearl was. I mean, it's obviously some kind of mollusk, but why is that grosser than any other gross thing?
It seemed like that was a weak closer. I watched that with my son Dominic. He was all excited about, I told him about the gross food challenge. He was looking forward to it all day. But then we got to that, he's like, "What is that, Dad? What is that?"
Yeah.
I was like, "I think it's like a clam." He's like, "Why is that gross?" I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it smells bad. They didn't really explain it.
Sometimes it's like texture, you know, it's like clearly took a lot of chewing. And if something's like really tough and muscly, that can be like just a challenge to chew through. It's not like, as a viewer, you're not like grossed out by extensive chewing. But I do think a lot of the time, the biggest challenge in the food competitions is just like
Mother of Pearl did not play.
Okay.
Work. Take it out of the rotation. Nothing wrong with, what is it? The Butok? No, that's the beetle. What's the chicken egg?
The balut.
Nothing wrong with that. That's got a winner there, Kerhofer.
Yeah. The balut is timelessly nasty. It really. And then Michael had a Jeremy moment where he went back and finished the food.
Yeah. But just one other thing with Angela. I loved it also when she talked about how she learned the tactics when she was in the armed forces of how to manipulate and go to psychological warfare. And then we had like the snare drum beat the backing. So kudos to the editors for the score tonight, because that was really, really fun.
Well, we got to talk more about Angela. I mean, I felt like, I assumed you were just leading up to it. Like, she was like the player of the episode, you know, she was everywhere. I thought, you know, she ends up, right, as you said, putting the target on Michael. She ends up making this, you know, she's suddenly in everybody's ear from having been in nobody's ear. Is this the right move?
To do what? To come out against Michael?
For her to come out against Michael.
Well, I don't, you know, it's funny because we thought that her and Chris were super tight. And then she almost is talking about how now she is like a butterfly emerged from the cocoon, and Chris was like holding her back. And now she can go out there and really show off her personality to everybody. It's like that she's a totally different person now, Angela.
But is this, I mean, well, so A, like, is like a good thing to show off your personality right now when they're like, they just, as you noted, like, you know, they just eliminated the other target they had, right? They had two targets at the merge. They had Chris and Libby. Is it great to like suddenly be everywhere? Cause then everyone is suddenly noticing you. But B, more importantly, like, do you think for Angela, was it right? You know, Michael's saying, why don't you vote with me? We'll take out Wendell. We'll take out one of these big dogs in the VD. Should she have done that, or is it better for her to do what she did?
I think it was better for her to do what she did. I think that she's basically an expendable number. While she's taking out somebody who is one of the heavy hitters in the field, I think that then she's also betraying all of the Navidi people, being one of the only Navidi people to vote against Wendell in that spot. And so I think she's going to piss everybody off. And I kind of like where she is right now, because that Chris going out of the game, who was an unpopular figure, but somebody that she was attached to, now that she's like, oh, wow, she's really blossomed now that Chris is out of the game. It's almost like an inflection point for her where people can look at her like, boy, once Chris was gone, I love this new Angela. Angela is great now that Chris isn't around. And so I do think that it's a chance for her to pivot a little bit in the post-Chris game. And who knows, maybe she can get in with that Navidi Women's Alliance and maybe start to have a little bit more of a foothold now that she's won an immunity challenge, now that she's seen as somebody who is this is a good immunity challenge to win, I feel like. It's fun. I mean, you talk about Cochran going back to Survivor Karamoan. I think that this was the first immunity challenge that they did after the merge. And, you know, everybody is super high on him, and not like how Seabass was super high in the challenge, but everybody was very high on Cochran. It's like a fun challenge to win. Everybody is like, and it's not like they did it. It's over. Nobody's threatened that you're going to eat the most gross stuff after this.
So is Angela the new Cochran? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes. Yes, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I agree with you that this was the right choice for her. I mean, largely because, you know, it behooves Angela, right? Her ideal situation is to be sort of like I was saying about Libby, basically, to be there when the bigger players start turning on each other. And, you know, taking out Michael, who's kind of like taking her spot as being like the low dog on the totem pole. You know, she wants that spot as like the low dog, as the low dog on the totem pole. I'm sure she was enraged, right? She was probably angry that this Malolo knew about this move and she didn't know about this move. You know, for her, Navidi loyalty and being included in that group and just like the cohesion of the group, and maybe this is her army training too, you know, it seems to be such a paramount thing. And I'm sure it really bothered her that Michael as a Malolo was like more in than she was, and almost was not rubbing her face in it, but was like, hey, you were left on the outs, you know, he said to her, and that probably bothered her, you know? And so I think that, yeah, I agree. It makes sense for her to stick within the VDs. Taking out Michael's a great choice, and really, really great move for Angela overall. And I would be giving her the fishy tonight, except obviously I can't.
Who are you giving the fishy to, Michael?
You got to give it to Michael.
Yeah. No, Michael's been really, really strong this season, and he's done a great job. He was able to know when to play the idol. He's reversed the curse of the effing stick tonight, Steven.
Wow. He fully reversed the curse.
Yeah.
He said, did someone reverse
you, Ozzy?
What?
He said, this is for you, Ozzy.
Oh, thank God. You know, one for Ozzy.
Yes. Yes. So Ozzy, I'm sure somewhere one day we'll find out that somebody said that the curse of the stick was reversed.
Shouldn't it be for Jason Siska or Eliza? Like, it's like Ozzy's the one who you know, fooled them.
Yes. All right. Well, we will ask Eliza about that. She will be talking to Eliza soon on the podcast. Very excited.
Really?
Yes. It's been a minute. Huh. Yes. We can talk
about it. Oh, because we have a live show coming up.
No. Eliza will not be in Boston, but she's going to be on the feedback show next week. So a little bit of a tease. We'll get her take on the advantages from Survivor Micronesia coming up when we talk to her.
Oh, that's fun.
What else from tonight, Steven? I got to ask you, Steven. Who would you say is better with the slingshot? Wendell tonight or you?
Tough one. That's a tough one. It depends on what the goal is. If the goal, well, it depends on what your goal is. If you want to hit your own targets, you know, if that's your thing, then give it to Wendell.
Yeah.
If you want to hit the other team's targets, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know my Twitter mentions were blowing up tonight when Jeff Probst said that the reason why Sebastian kept missing was that he was high
so every single
time. Lots of funny stuff in this episode. I thought this was a really, really fun show tonight.
Yeah, this was great. There's a lot of great. I mean, that's what I love about this cast is there's just like so many great distinct characters. Even that moment where Angela goes and tells Kellen, and Kellen like stamps her feet and is like, now I'm mad for the first time. And like, you think like this might be the first time in your life. You know, you don't mean the first time in this game. I just like all of these really great characters who I just really enjoy. You know, Laurel had a really fun episode tonight. I mean, Wendell, obviously, you know, Dominic saying he's going to take a step back. You know, Donathan had a really interesting episode where, you know, he's a real strategic force too. And he's the one who's saying, you know, who's considering, do we stick with the Malolos or do we blindside them? Just a great, fun, episode all around.
Yeah. I did like Jeff. He did a really great job tonight with the reveal of the stick. Once we saw that Michael got up and played, Jeff said, this is not just a stick anymore. You know, he really had that line down perfectly. So kudos to Jeff also at the Tribal Council. All right. We're going to get into your questions here tonight on the Survivor Nodals. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor. Support for today's show comes from Microsoft Teams. Steven, we're talking about the importance of people from Navidi and Malolo sticking together. If only Libby and Michael had been on the same page on Microsoft Teams, maybe it would have been a different outcome for Libby. Wendell is thanking his lucky stars that they are not using this, because Microsoft Teams is a digital workspace where you can create, collaborate, and communicate authentically, just as you would in the real world. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365 with so much to look after. Wouldn't it be great if there was just one place to look? Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams brings together your chats, your meetings, your apps, your files, all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards the deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams is available in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn even more. See, we didn't touch on Jenna went to Ghost Island tonight, and it was not the best use of our time.
Well, that's, I think that's why they got rid of Exile Island, was because they had to basically every week have like show someone on Exile Island. And for the most part, that was just dead air. Right. And that's sort of what the thing was with Jenna tonight.
Yeah. To me, get a big wheel in there, put all the things up there. Sometimes you hit bankrupt. Sometimes you lose a turn. Sometimes you get got nothing for you. Just spin the wheel. Then every time, okay, let's see what happens. Oh, it's an advantage. Yeah. Okay, all right. It's bankrupt. Okay, back to camp.
Yeah, all right. I like that. I like that. The wheel of fish.
What would you call it? Survivor Wheel Island?
I like the Wheel of Fortune. Is such a classic. I mean, it's too bad that name is taken.
Yeah, you don't have
too
bad. Rights to it.
It was like Boethius, you know, philosophically.
Wheel of Doom?
Yeah, the Wheel of Power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Medallion of Power could be in there somewhere.
Yeah, I like this idea. Maybe it doesn't have to necessarily be a wheel per se, but you know, I like that it's just something like, okay, what did I get? What about Yankee Swap?
Oh yeah, is that like a white elephant thing or whatever it is?
Yeah,
yeah. Where like you get a gift, but you can like change it for a better or worse gift.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And you open it. You open the box of Tribal Council.
And then everyone can either take it. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Yeah. That's fun.
It's like, Jeff, I'm going to play this. It's like the secret item at the auction. Jeff, I'm going to play this box. So like, I'm going to steal it. I'm going to steal your box and give you my box. So like, all right, open it up. Oh, man. I had the, I ended up getting the, Butch's machete. Like, oh, man, what do I do with that?
That's a deep cut. Did he have a good machete or did he have a bad one?
It was pretty dull by the end of it. Okay. Bridget wants to know, could Wendell have stood up and played his idol after Michael played his, or are you not allowed to after one has been formally played? I don't know when the cutoff is. I think when the first vote is read, right?
Yeah, you can play it. I mean, that's what happened with Jeremy and Kelly Wentworth in Cambodia. I imagine there have been other times. Maybe that was the only time.
Advantage get in when Suri went out of the game. You know, one person gets up and says, okay, I'm going to play my advantage. And like, well, I guess I better play mine too. So Wendell could have. Wendell was lucky tonight.
Well, not really. I mean, he did have.
Really.
Well, he was. He correctly knew where everybody was voting.
Yeah.
Not luck.
I mean, he was lucky that Jenna did. I'm sorry that Libby and or Jenna didn't decide to go with Michael.
But you invent this whole fan fiction about what might have happened, and then you're like, well, Wendell's lucky that my like fantasy scenario didn't play out.
You don't think that he's that you feel like that there was no luck involved, that him and Dominic just had everything so much on lockdown that there was no, I mean, that he could have voted for anybody, Michael.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of luck in Survivor, and you know, you really have to go with your reads. And I feel like the difference, you know, either your reads are right and you stay, or your reads are wrong and you go. And obviously Wendell's read was he had the votes. You know, Chris's read last week was that the votes were with him and he was wrong. I just don't know if it's necessarily like luck.
Well, I think there's some luck involved. I think they were lucky last week also that Chris didn't play his idol.
Yes. I mean, yeah, sure. There's a ton of luck, and everything is luck. You know, every part of human motivation, every choice we make is somehow based not just on randomness, but also luck. And I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Okay. All right. What about Joshua?
Joshua wants to know, do you think the fact that Malolo didn't vote together is actually best for Michael's game? Because if they would have voted together, it would have put an even bigger target on him. Everyone essentially voted against him tonight, so he appears less threatening now.
Okay. Does Michael have a chance, Stephen?
I don't think so. I just don't see it. But yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I just think that he's sort of in the he's been compared to Malcolm a lot in the Philippines, but basically he's like Malcolm in Karamoan at this point, where it's like, boy, everybody thinks he's a big threat. He's played an idol. Like, it's going to take him going back to Ghost Island, getting another idol. I mean, he's found two already this season. That's going to hurt his table image, to speak. I just think that he's kind of dead man walking. If they don't get him next week, they're going to get him the week after. I don't know how he gets from 12 to the end.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen people beast out for
to the end. Right.
It was like Mike in season 30, and then obviously Ben last season, you know, through a combination of challenge wins and idol finds, make it from, you know, 5 votes. But I don't see anyone making it 8 votes that way.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a miracle. What do you think about Michael going back and eating the mother of pearl?
I love that.
Is that a lucky charm after Jeremy did it in Survivor Second Chances?
Yeah. It's a total Jeremy moment.
Yeah. Although Jeremy just did it. I like that better. I thought Michael, I thought it was a little teacher's pet. I thought it was a little bit.
I don't know. It's totally different for like a 38-year-old or 37, however old he was at the time, versus a 18-year-old. You know, it's just a different scene. I thought it was really cute. Like, I'm here. Not even cute. I thought it was really like moving. Like, I want to have every part of this experience. I get to do it once. Great attitude, by the way.
Yeah. I only play Survivor once. It won't be like I'll be back 8 times.
Yeah. You know, they still haven't brought back Marty Piombo. So,
I think the key is getting it at 18.
I guess that's right.
Coming to the league at 18. I think you're really set up well.
All right. Jimmy G wants to know, Angela is the first female contestant to solidify her spot in a returning season due to challenge performance.
Solidify her spot on a returnee season. All right, so we're bringing back Angela now because of her ability to put down a sea slug, the sea slug slugger.
I don't think Angela so far has shown us that she's coming back for sure. I mean, she might. I could see her coming back for sure, but not for sure.
Yeah, I think that that might be a little tongue in cheek, Steven.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's hard to read sarcasm over.
You need an emoji.
Okay. Yeah, play high.
Okay. Elizabeth says, what is with the baby bun hairdos at the immunity challenge? Did you notice that, Stephen? I know you keep very close attention to everybody's hair and how they style it at the challenges.
I actually found that very strange, like disconcerting and strange. I don't know why. Like, typically, I think it's fun when the contestants come in with some, you know, fun thing that they've done, like the shows there's like unity, but that was like quite weird.
Yeah. Did anybody not do it? I'd like to go back and take a look. I know I saw that Angela had it and Callan had it and Sebastian had it, but I wonder, was it an all Navidi thing? Like, did Libby and Jenna, did they have it too? Was it a little bit like of marking where there was a line, or did everybody have it? I'll watch the episode again and I'll look at that. Okay. Andy wants to know, how could Michael have better approached Angela if he wanted to acquire her vote? Yeah. Angela has been a tricky subject to. We saw James was not able to push the right combination. Michael attempted tonight to unlock the Angela code. He was not able to. What should his approach have been, Stephen?
Yeah, it's hard because there did seem to be something very like, I don't know what the right adjective is, like slightly off-putting about the way he was just like leaning back in his chair. Yeah, kind
of
like,
again, we talked about this, but I think with James as well, in terms of just body language, that I think he was sitting, she was standing. It was the opposite when James tried to approach her. She was sitting, he was standing. And I think that Angela seems to me, and this is maybe me being my amateur psychologist, she doesn't like feeling like she's being used as just a number. I think that people are approaching her too quickly of, hey, you're on the bottom. You're going to lose. Only I can save you. Let's work together and flip this whole thing around. And I think she's a little bit like, hey, who are you to tell me where I am in the game?
But the counter argument is, and I agree with you. I do think that's probably part of what's happening here. But, they're in camp, right? Michael's in a chair, which is like probably somewhere central in their camp. And it has to look casual, right? Like it has to look just like, hey, well, whatever. Like, hey, that's what I wanted. I got the votes. You know, you have to just sort of slip it in there. Wow. casually, conversationally. And if you lean forward and say, listen, Angela, I've got this big scheme. And then like everyone's like, what are they talking about over there? You know? And so obviously like the best situation is to find some time to approach her separately, but it's not always that easy to like get alone time with someone, especially when there's 12 people on that beach. So, you know, I think sometimes you just have to roll with what you've got. And, obviously,
yeah,
didn't work out.
I think she's the type of player, and everybody is very different, and that's what makes it fun. But she's not the type of person that you're going to be able to casually recruit to your side. I think that it is really going to be, you have to really put in a lot of effort first into the relationship, first win her over. And then I think she's voting along the lines of the bonds that she's made, as opposed to whatever the voting numbers tend to be for a certain round of play. Like she's still, well, even though the Navidi people turn their back on her at one point, she's still solid to Navidi because of the bonds that she's made. And I think that Kellen has done a lot of good work with Angela over the course of the game, where Angela still feels bonded to Navidi foremost, as opposed to being somebody who feels like that she should try to flip things around on Navidi.
Yeah, no. I think the same thing you were noting about how she felt, you know, constrained by Chris, yet also felt really allied with him. She's obviously a very loyal person who feels those connections deeply. Hey, shout out to Kellen, who seems to be doing consistently great work. I love that moment when Kellen is talking to Laurel and I think others, and Laurel is saying, Kellen's asking Laurel, hey, who do you guys think it is? And Laurel's like, well, I don't get a vote here, right? I have no sway. And Kellen says, you have sway. We're relying on you more than you're relying on us, which is obviously not true. Mm-hmm. But good job on Kellen for like making the people around her feel powerful and needed, because that's what you have to do. I mean, that's like really fantastic alliance maintenance work, which is the survivor skill.
Okay. All right, Steven. It's good. Good work.
I love you. Yeah, I love you. Okay.
Yeah, bravo, Steven.
Why did I go off on this spiel? You know, maybe like some sort of like, I disagree. I agree, but I hear you. I agree.
You're dropping knowledge on people. Very professorial. Helped raise the discourse.
See, that's what I want. Just constant affirmation.
Mary Conway says, do you think that Libby's fatal mistake was betraying Morgan? I think that's a little Thursday morning quarterback. But do you feel like going back to when she ended up betraying Morgan on that second night of the season, do you feel like that was her fatal flaw in the game?
Not really. I mean, Morgan was in with that Navidi group, right? Morgan was tight with Wendell and Dominic. You know, those guys are the ones who are running the show now. That would have just been more power for them. I don't necessarily see, you know, Morgan. I mean, and who was the other option there? I guess it was Angela. No.
Yeah, but Angela won immunity this week. No, that's very ticky-tack to go back to, that she could have voted differently the first time she went to tribal council and it would have changed things up. Although it would have had a big impact on the game, I do have to say, to have a Navidi number taken out and then have Malolo in a really good place with those people that ended up coming through after they took Angela out at that vote. It would have changed things. But again, I don't think that she had the sway to be able to be the person. It wasn't like she was the swing vote that night.
Yeah. Oh, Larry wants to know, hey, is it weird that Malolo and Navidi are still trying to be pro-original tribes when the tribes have been swapped so much? This is sort of unusual, Rob, with a multiple swap season, and they still very much divide along original tribal lines.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that weird because based on the merge at 13, it's still just a big merge. So we saw Michael say in the episode tonight, which I have to respectfully disagree with what he said. Oh, the first vote at the merge was an easy vote. Usually that first vote at the merge is where you really see the cracks start to form. Not recently. I don't feel like that. It's been a while since we've had a season where last season kind of was that. But for the most part, when we have these big merges at these big seasons where 20 people and we merge at 13, I think that people look for an easy person to vote off for the first couple of votes. And then that big crack ends up coming a couple of votes after the merge.
Yeah, I agree. The second or third vote after the merge, which is why we may be in for a really fun episode next week for our live show. But yeah, I think that I totally agree with you. I mean, part of it, I think, is these big merge tribes. It makes a lot of sense to just find someone. I think he's probably referring to like classic Survivor when they were merging at like 9. And then it was typically, you know, let's find someone to like, it was typically a somewhat decisive vote, what was the question? So I played on a season where, you know, we were very into our original tribe identities, even though there had been multiple swaps, and you know, nevertheless, throughout that season, you know, Bion Strong, we would talk about Bion Strong, and I think as much as anything, it's just like another thing to talk about. It's another way to structure alliances. I don't necessarily think that any single person other than maybe Kellen has all of their eggs in that original tribe basket. You know, certainly we see Wendell and Dominic don't, but it's just one way to structure the many shifting alliances.
Yeah. That's why I do like what we have there with that one alliance that is Wendell, Dominic and Laurel and Donathan in that sort of like the cross tribal alliance. That's the exile alliance of it all, Stephen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I especially like it from the perspective of Wendell and Dominic because they are on the business end of that side with having the Navidi numbers be so many more than the Malolo side of it for Laurel and for Donathan is not looking like it's that great of a thing.
Yeah, they've got to do something, but like they know they have to do something. And you were saying too, right, that too soon. Now's not the time.
Yeah. Now is not the time, I don't believe, but it's getting there. It's going to be sooner than later. Okay.
Yeah.
Sean Blackburn, can we now proclaim the era of big moves to be over? Wendell and Dominic turning this into Survivor Goat Island. Stephen, are you willing tonight to declare the big moves era of Survivor is dead?
Wait, why? Why does this mean? Like, yeah, what would the
we had an idol get played tonight. Yeah. Why? Because Libby didn't go along with the big move. I mean, that I thought that the show was telling us that, you know, what a bad job Libby did. And I think it was Chelsea who delivered the line where she basically said, like, hey, if you are not part of the big group, basically, you are an idiot and you got
Yeah. I mean, but that was results oriented thinking. Like if you're not voting with the majority, then you're
an idiot.
You're an idiot. Yeah.
As John Fincher once said.
Yeah. All right. Timmy Samari wants to know, should Michael have told the Malolos about his idol? Well, this is a really great point. What do you think, Rob?
This is very interesting because we saw earlier this season where Michael found James's idol and he went back and he did tell his alliance. He told Brendan and Stephanie and Jenna that, hey, I've got James's idol and we're going to play it at the tribal council tonight. And that did not work, but not because he told the group. But I think that he was probably having some mistrust within the group in terms of, you know, that he had one shot left at this. You know, you kind of get the sense that he felt in this episode when he went back and ate the mother of pearl, that maybe he was feeling like his Survivor life was flashing before his eyes. He was going to make the most of every single opportunity. And so maybe he felt like, I'm not going to risk this by telling anybody about it. That being said, that I wonder, did he have, it'll be interesting to ask him as well, that when we get the chance eventually, to say, did you at least try to hint to Libby it would be in her best interest? Or was he more of like, hey, I didn't care about Libby. I only cared about saving myself in the game. And but he could have had the daily double of staying in the game and potentially getting this big move to happen against Wendell.
Yeah, it's interesting how much Angela really screwed over his position, because, you know, when she tells Wendell, hey, Michael's gunning for you, his response is, Wendell's response is, that guy, I really like Michael. Like, Michael's good attitude and just kindness and him playing this really low key game seemed to be really working for him. So Angela truly did blow up his spot. You know, it really did seem like Angela might have cost him a lot in this game.
Yeah. All right, Steven, a couple more questions here. Dominic Malpietti, what's worse to eat, fisheye, sea slug, grubs, or Vegemite?
Oh, Rob, this is a question for you.
Vegemite, not close. Look, if they brought out, instead of like, okay, final round, it's Michael versus Angela, and it's Vegemite, that I think that both of them would have just pulled a Wendell right there.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here it is. Here's one... 1 ounce of Vegemite. Go. They'd still be there.
Okay. Shallon Yeager wants to know, do you think Wendell earned some points back with Chris, in-game at least, by calling him the biggest guy out there? Is there a chance Chris would still vote for him if Wendell makes it to the final two?
I don't know I don't know if we want to bring exit interviews into this because they're not canon, but okay. So that being said, look, I think it was a solid move on the jury management to tip of the cap to the noble one.
I don't know what exit interviews you're referring to.
The ones that I do.
Yeah. No. I mean, in general, I've tried to, you know, I try to just avoid yours. I don't want to see those. It's too much. I get enough of you. And you know, this hour. No. I don't know. You tell me. Do you think that we can talk about, I don't know what you're referring to that he said.
Well, I just go off of, and it's not always foolproof. Like in the exit interviews, do they sound like they like that person or they don't like that person?
Well, but also there's a big difference with Chris on the island and Chris just having watched the episode, because in the island, he didn't hear this incredible confessional that Wendell gave ripping him apart. You know, when you did this exit interview with him, he would have just watched this. You know, maybe he did vote for Wendell, maybe he didn't, but either way, you know, maybe if he did, he might feel particularly betrayed. I think, you know, Cochran made this point to me, and I think it's really true. You see that the people who refer offhandedly to the jury members end up doing really well because the jury members really appreciate that. They want to still feel like they're important and still part of the game. I think it's a really good move on Wendell's part. Whether or not it pays off in a jury vote, like, who knows? But I don't think it's that impossible. Did Wendell and Chris like dislike each other? No.
Not based on anything we saw on the show before Wendell's vote at the tribal council last week.
Yeah.
They seem to have a good relationship. Okay. Scott wants to know, did Malolo miss their opportunity to get a foothold in the game in not voting Wendell out? The trouble with all of Malolo is that you lump in Donathan and Laurel in that, and they're directly connected with Wendell. So I'm not sure it's in their best interest to vote him out at 12, but I'm looking at Libby and I'm looking at Jenna, and I really just see the big missed opportunity here tonight if they could have just gotten on the same page with Michael.
Yeah, will be curious to hear, if you email her the question and, you know, how extensively she writes back, to hear what her perspective was and why she couldn't connect with him.
Yeah. Okay. Beckett, I'm curious, how long does a typical tribal council last when you're actually there? Steven, could you settle this? That I feel like that there's so many survivors have varying reports of how long a tribal council lasts.
Well, here's the reason for that, which is you have no conception of time when you're on Survivor. You don't have a watch. You know, you have no way of gauging an amount of time. It is a significant amount of time, right? It's probably about an hour, I would guess. You know, some of them are very short and some of them are longer. They vary, but it's so hard for survivors themselves to truly guess how long that is. I would say it's probably about an hour all in.
Yeah. No, some survivors like, we were there all night. Right. We were there. Right. That tribal was 8 hours long.
Yeah.
The sun came up. We were still at tribal that night. So yeah, the reality star is prone to hyperbole, Stephen.
that's why it's not, none of it is canon.
Okay. All right. What about Kristen?
Kristen Ashley wants to know, how many times do you think Jeff rehearsed that line? This is not just a stick.
Doesn't matter. He nailed it. Doesn't matter.
He nailed it.
Doesn't matter how many times he practices it. All he's got to do is get it right when it comes time for somebody to play the effing stick. And so it was well worth it. Great job. 20 seasons in the making to get the effing stick played correctly. I guess probably hard to play it correctly the first time, considering that it was a stick. Probably the way to play it is like, oh, this was a stick.
I actually thought Eliza played it perfectly. She acknowledged that it was a stick. Nevertheless, was like, just in case this is not a stick, I am going to try to play this.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up. News AF coming up on Thursday. One of Steven's other favorite podcasts to check in with me and Tyson and Danny Bryson every single week on the top news stories, the most interesting news stories on the internet. On Thursday, Taryn Armstrong is going to be back covering the exciting live feeds of Big Brother Canada 6. Mm. Get ready. And Thursday night, what's going to happen? We'll find out which of the people on the block is going to go home. Maybe this is going to be interesting week. We will all find out on Thursday night. Join Taryn live for that. And then Dr. Mike is going to be with me tomorrow morning. So first thing in the morning, recording actually very early in the morning. So it's actually a good thing we don't have an exit interview scheduled for the morning, because I have Dr. Mike coming up. We've already got a question thread up in the Facebook patron group. Find out more about how to get even deeper into Rob Has a Podcast. Go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. Get all of Steven. Can you believe there's hours of bonus shows a week?
Hours?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. You're so impressive. The fact that you just do all of this content, and some of it is for this very niche audience. That's really, really, really cool.
That's
amazing.
That's what goes on there. Go check it out. robhasawebsite.com/.
I can barely handle this 1 hour that we do a week.
Well, there's the 1 hour and you.
I mean, wiped out by the end of it.
Everything you have into it and exhaust yourself. But this is a marathon.
You do all hours and hours and hours of content, Rob. It's so impressive. I'm really impressed by you.
Yes, that's it's a monastic life that I live, just dedicated to talking about this TV show, Steven.
Well, it's paying off, at least in my enthusiasm for you.
Okay. All right. Steven, do you have a hashtag tonight?
Hashtag okay.
That's the hashtag. Okay. You feel like I no sold your point. I don't want to insult you that, sometimes it's that, I am, focused on, okay. And then we're going
to move on. Got to move on.
Next questions, but
yeah.
You do a great job of,
I wasn't serious. I actually saw a funny thread on Reddit about your transitions. And that was really a callback to
that was a funny exclamation in quotation marks.
I know. I love it when people, point out your foibles.
So fun. So fun. Well, why isn't there more of that? Why isn't there more of that?
You hear it here. Rob wants more of his foibles pointed out. Hashtag foibles.
Please. Yes. Yes. If we can get that going. So, all right. Very excited to continue on. Very fun Survivor season of Ghost Island. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Look for our exit, the reading of our answers from Libby on the Exit Interview podcast. So we'll have that. And then Dr. Mike and then Nicole on the feedback show this weekend. Take care, everybody. Follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter. Make sure you get his People blog. And then, of course, be sure to tell him how much you like it.
Yeah. Praise. As you've seen, I'm very sensitive and I need a lot of praise.
Okay. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Ooh. Hey, live show next week. Oh, yeah. How about that?
The most anticipated live know-it-alls of all time, perhaps. Boston, Massachusetts. We will be live and streaming, barring any sort of technological disaster.
Wow. Really? This is a first.
We.
Second.
Yeah, we streamed the Reno shows, and then we also streamed when we were in Austin back in December. So, but hopefully, we'll have a seamless stream for you guys joining us live. And if not, they have to check out the podcast. Okay.
Very excited. All right. Bye.
Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.